Father, I thank you for the wisdom of God that is available to us. And we ask you this morning for wisdom. Lord, I pray that wisdom would be imparted to our hearts today. Lord, that we might learn to speak wisely. Father, I pray that the Word of God would come alive to us. Lord, that the truth of God's Word would find its place in our heart and bring forth much fruit in our lives, that you be glorified in it. And Father, may our ears be open and our hearts attuned and attentive to your Word this morning, that we truly hear with the ears of our heart, Lord, and obey your Word. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've talked about some hard issues. I told you there were the three M's, and we talked about morality. And that's a tough one. And we talked about money, and that's a tough one. We're going to talk about the mouth today. And that's one that, at least for myself as a pastor, I have dealt with. It's one that needs to be dealt with frequently. And the title of the message this morning is just word-wise. We've all had times in our lives where we've said things that we wish we had, and some of you had one of those this morning on the way to church. You know, we've all had those times where we got those words out there and it's too late. You can't get them back. It is the most difficult area of your life to regret proof. We've all had to eat our words at times, right? James says in James 3:2, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Oh, to be, huh? We got any perfect people here today? Just keep your hand down, all right? None of us is faultless and flawless. No, we have all made mistakes. And James says that if you can control your mouth, if you can be faultless in what you say, then you're a perfect person. Now, there's two sides to that coin. On the one hand, obviously, none of us is perfect, and all of us have made mistakes with our mouth. Here's the other side of that coin, though. If we can learn to control what we say, control the words of our mouth, if we can learn to speak wisely, then every other area of our life is not going to be a problem for us. If you can really get control of this area of your life, you're going to be able to get the whole body, the rest of your life, in check, under control. Isn't that amazing? He's a perfect man. Now, one guy working in a supermarket in the produce section, he had a lady come in one day and she said, "Sir, I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce." And he said, "Ma'am, we just don't sell them that way. You got to buy the whole head." She said, "Look, I've been shopping here every week for many, many years, and I don't see why you couldn't just sell me just a half a head. I don't need a whole head." Well, this just went on and on until finally the guy says, "Look, I'll go ask my manager, okay?" And so he goes and he finds the manager and he says, "Sir, I got a crazy lady back here that just insists on buying a half a head of lettuce." And the manager's going like this, and because the guy doesn't realize that the lady has followed him to the manager. And so when he finally realizes, he turns and he says, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half." Well, after that was all over with, the manager says, "Wow, I have never seen such a great recovery. Where did you learn to do that?" He says, "Well, I'm from Grand Rapids, and in Grand Rapids, it's known for two things. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's known for two things. It's known for its great hockey teams and its ugly women." And the manager just gets all flustered, red in the face, and he says, "My wife is from Grand Rapids." And the guy says, "What hockey team did she play for?" Well, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? In fact, most of you guys, you husbands, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The harder you try to dig out, you're just digging deeper, right? It just doesn't work out that way. A lot of the time, the things that we have said get us in trouble and bring a lot of harm in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones and others. It's so important that we learn to be wise in what we say. Part of the problem with being foolish in our speech is that there's a very prevalent attitude in our society that words don't really matter. It's just words. It's no big deal. But I want you to understand that that is not what God says about it. And the wisdom of God, again, contradicts the wisdom of the world. And we tend to fall into that mindset, oh, it's no big deal, it's just words, it's just, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. But that's not what the Bible says, and we need a biblical perspective of words. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That is tremendous power. Now, you might be saying right now, well, I don't see that, I don't understand that. I'm telling you, we just need to take God's word for it. Because over the course of your life, it will prove to be true that your words will bring death in areas of your life, or it'll bring life to your life. We want to experience all that God has for us and really live the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. I'm telling you, you got to get control of your words. In your words are the power of life and death. And those that love it will eat its fruit. You see, if you use the power of your words, it's going to bring fruit in your life, whether good or bad. And we've talked about in previous weeks about how that little decisions sometimes have big consequences in your life. And I'm telling you, sometimes the words that we choose determine the course of our life. It can be just two little bitty words, and it'll change forever the course of your life, like, I do. We're talking life change, buddy. You know, I always tell grooms before the wedding, I always say, you know, there's a reason that two become one, because your life is over. Some of the words of comfort I like to give a groom before a wedding, but... But I do. That'll change the course of your life. And maybe that's a big example. But the truth is there are a lot of times and situations in life where just one phrase or one sentence is going to change the course of where your life is going. Your words can be very powerful. James chapter 3, verse 2 through 4 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, and we turn about the whole animal. We take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Now, he uses two illustrations here to show us the power of our words. Number one, you put that bit in the mouth of a horse, and just by controlling the mouth, you control the whole animal. A 1,200-pound animal can be easily controlled once it's trained just by a little bit of pressure in the mouth. You control the mouth, you control the whole animal. And then he uses this example of a ship, a big, huge ship that's driven by the power of the wind, but it's controlled by just that small rudder. And so it is with our lives, that our tongues control the direction of our life, the course of our life, and much of where we are today, especially for those of you that are adults. The longer that you are out on your own, you're turning the course of your life. But even for young people, many of the direction, much of the direction, the course of your life is determined by the things that you have said and set things in motion. And it may seem like a little thing at the time, but all too often you see down the road that that began you in a certain direction. You know, he says we all stumble in many ways, but if you're never at fault in what you say, you're a perfect man. I just want to say again, we've all said foolish things and had those times when we wish we could get our words back. Yet people want to act like that words don't matter. They're powerful. Your words can determine the course of your marriage. Is your marriage headed towards trouble, headed for destruction? I'm telling you, there are some words that got it going that direction. At the same time, words can turn your marriage towards health and wholeness and love and restoration. How can you turn it around? The right words. I'm telling you, words are very, very powerful. You know, a lot of people talk about money issues being the major cause for marital strife, and others will say, well, you know, sex is the big issue. But I'm telling you, whether money or sex are involved or something else, words are always involved. And so much of the time, it was the first issue. It was the words of criticism. It was the harsh words that were spoken in anger that started a marriage in the wrong direction. I want to tell you, when I first got married, in my family, well, we were just kind of loud. I preach kind of loud sometimes, don't I? You know, people say, what's he mad about? I ain't mad, I'm just passionate, all right? But when I first got married, I was just kind of loud, you know, and I'm kind of preachy around the house. Took me a while to figure out I was hurting Carmen. Brother Nichols, as loud as he preaches, he's always soft-spoken around the house. And she thought I was mad at her. So I had to learn to watch and be careful, not just with what I said, but the tone of voice and how I said it. And she kind of had to learn that I wasn't mad. But I'm just telling you, your words are powerful. And the way you talk to your loved ones has a powerful effect. Listen, you can derail your career real quick by saying the wrong things. Your words can get you in a fight fast. And we had a young man years ago in our youth group. I'm telling you, he loves his mama. And if somebody said, your mama, to him, both fists were doubled up and he was ready to go. And the youth pastor had to say, whoa, 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 calm down now. Let's not. I made it a rule in my youth group, you don't say your mama to anybody. Because I'm telling you, some people, those two words will get them mad, ready to fight. But you know what? All of us know that. You say the wrong thing to somebody, you can get yourself in a fight real quick. You say the wrong thing, it can get you divorced. You say the wrong thing, it can get you fired. Words are powerful. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to be convinced of that first. If we're going to learn to speak wisely, you got to first believe the Word of God, that there is power of life and death in the tongue, that your words are powerful and control much of the direction and the course of your life. Power. Tremendous power. Words can hurt people or bring healing to people. We say, we teach little children, we say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we tell children that because we don't want them to take to heart the hurtful things that other people say. But the truth is, and we know this as adults, that words do hurt. And most of us can remember hurtful words that were said to us years and years ago. In fact, some people go back to when they were a child and talk about some hurtful thing that was said to them. I can remember 25 years ago, certain things that were said to me. And though I forgave it immediately, there's still those words, those sentences that were spoken to me, hurtful things. You see, words are very powerful. No matter how much we want to say that they're just words, the truth is, and the Bible says it very plainly, that they're powerful. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful or a wicked tongue crushes the spirit. Crushes the spirit. You know, you can crush somebody's spirit by saying something ugly. Jesus didn't break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. If we want to be like Jesus, we got to control our mouths. We got to be wise about what we say. In our mouths is the power to crush somebody else's spirit. In our mouths is the power to speak life into somebody else. You see, it works both ways. How are you using your power? For healing or hurting? The greatest effect of our words is always on our loved ones, those that are closest to us. And yet the irony is it seems like that is where we are the most careless. in the workplace, the marketplace, even with strangers. People just kind of understand, you know, you got to be a little bit careful about what you say. And yet when they're at home or with their loved ones, it's that familiarity of family that sometimes they let their guard down and just say whatever. And they end up hurting those that they love the most. And I'm telling you, that's where your words have the greatest impact. So we need to be wise with our words. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can use those same words instead of hurting. We can heal and we can minister life to people. Proverbs 12 and 18 says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Again, it works both ways. You see, your words, when you speak in wisdom, the tongue of the wise heals people. People that are hurting, people that are discouraged, people that are down and out, the words of the wise can heal those people. So if we'll learn to use our words, the power of our words, we can really minister to people. On the other hand, listen to this, he says, reckless words. Not just words that were spoken intentionally to harm someone. I don't think that's a problem with any sincere Christian. Obviously, no sincere Christian would intentionally hurt somebody else. But the problem is, it's reckless words. You ever seen a reckless driver? Oh, come on, if you live in Dallas-Fort Worth, you've seen a reckless driver. I mean, they're everywhere. Crazy people, right? I mean, I don't mean to be talking bad about them, but the crazies are out. I mean, that's, you know, they're just out there. Got to be careful. Somebody said, "I saw you driving the other day." Reckless drivers. I've seen so many reckless drivers of lives. They don't realize where they are taking their life. By their reckless words. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Be careful. Be wise in how you speak. You don't have to intend harm. Reckless words can hurt people. You know, it's not usually that we say stupid things intentionally. But if we want to be wise, we got to choose to be. You can't just be reckless. You got to choose to be wise. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot even begin to count how many times I have had to apologize to somebody for something I've said. I mean, it's just all the time. I did it this Friday. I said, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that." It just happens a lot to me. Because, you know, you say things, you don't really mean it the way it sounds, or you weren't careful, weren't wise, and it comes out reckless and it hurts somebody. Well, that happens to almost all of us. All of us except the perfect ones, all right? Come on now. Somebody help me here. Somebody get in this boat with me. I'm feeling lonely up here right now. Y'all all looking at me like, no. I have to apologize. Why is that? Because this is that area that most of us struggle with at times, and yet it can be so powerful if we use our words the right way. In just a moment, a phrase, a sentence, you can do such terrible harm to your relationships with your loved ones just by saying the wrong thing. Words can cause great hurt, or they can heal. Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone." Pleasant words. See, our words should be pleasant. Our words should be kind. Our words should be comforting and encouraging and faith-filled and build people up. That's the way we're supposed to speak. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." So when you see somebody that's stressed out, you see somebody that's all grumpy and crabby, what are you supposed to do? Get away fast. Well, be kind to them. Say something kind. You can lift somebody's spirit just by a kind word. somebody that's down and out and discouraged, a kind word can cheer them up, help them get turned around. But our words should always be used to build people up, never to tear down. So, you know, in life, there are lots of difficult situations, and I understand that. I mean, you know, I do business with people. I have a family. I pastor a church. I know that there are difficult situations to deal with and sometimes difficult people. So I want to say this very plainly. I understand that. And sometimes when you're dealing with a difficult situation, it's hard to say the right thing. But the Bible says this, speak the truth in love. Find the right way to say it. Sometimes before you deal with a difficult person or situation, you need to go pray about it. Don't just handle it off the cuff. We'll just spit it out. We'll just jump out. No, you need to pray about it. You need to get the right words, because I'm telling you, how you handle that situation is going to determine the outcome. The words that you say are going to determine the outcome. So speak the truth in love. No, you don't have to lie and shirk the issues that need to be dealt with. But you have to find a way to handle it right, in a way that's pleasing to God. And speak the truth in love. Don't be reckless with your words. But find a way to be encouraging, not to discourage. Don't wound people in their spirit. You know, our words can encourage and build faith, or they can bring doubt and fear and unbelief. The words of 10 spies kept 2 million people out of the promised land. 10 spies came back with a bad report. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of that generation that went into the promised land. Those two and a new generation went in. But the 10 spies with a bad report who spoke negatively, who brought fear and doubt and unbelief to the hearts of the people, they and 2 million people that listened to them died in the wilderness. And I want to tell you, that same principle and spiritual issue is still prevalent in the body of Christ today. When people begin to talk negative and fear and doubt and unbelief, it wounds people, it undermines people's faith, it keeps them from entering into the blessings that God has for them. Your words are powerful. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now, there's two things here that you need to see. He says, first, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to speak any profanity. I'm not going to say anything bad. That's not really what he's talking about there when he says unwholesome. He's also talking about being negative and complaining. And he makes that clear as he goes on and he says, but only. See, what's supposed to come out of your mouth? Only what is helpful, useful, to build others up, to minister to the needs of others. So our words are always supposed to build other people up. One of the most damaging things in the body of Christ, in fact, this one issue, this one sin, does more damage to the body of Christ than all of the other sins together. Speaking evil of our brothers and sisters. Gossip and slander. Putting our brothers and sisters down and saying negative things about them. I'm telling you as a pastor, and I can get pastor after pastor after pastor to tell you the same thing. We think it's a little sin that doesn't matter. And the truth is, it does more damage in the body of Christ than all the other sins together. I think part of the reason is because we've accepted it too much of the time and we allow it to go on. And I'm telling you, we need to realize that it's tearing down, that it brings death and destruction. James chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, "Brothers, do not slander one another." In the King James, it says, "Don't speak evil of one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. But he says very plainly, don't speak against one another. That's the issue. Some people want to say, well, you know what I'm saying about them is true. That's not the issue. Of course you shouldn't lie. The Bible makes it very clear and very plain that lying is a sin. But it also makes it plain and clear that you're not supposed to put your brother down and speak against them, even if it were true. I'm telling you, none of us is perfect. All of us have faults, but we don't want everybody to talk about them, do we? We don't want everybody to be getting on the phone and telling everybody what we did. No, when we begin to speak against one another, the Bible says that we're no longer keeping the word ourselves. Slander is speaking evil of others. It doesn't necessarily have to be an outright lie. Sometimes it's just the way you put it. Proverbs 18 and 8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Down to a man's inmost being. What gets down in there? The words of a gossip. And they're like choice morsels. And whether you're the one speaking gossip or you're the one that's giving ear to it. You know, sometimes you can't help what you hear with your ear. But you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to take that inside. And many times it is your choice to get up and walk away or to tell that person that you don't want to hear that. But when you gossip, when you speak it, when you listen to it and you open yourself up to that, you are taking that choice morsel and you're getting it down inside of you. And it corrupts your soul. I'm telling you, it will sour you. It will discourage you. It will undermine your faith. It will cause you not to love others the way that you're supposed to. You don't need that garbage in your soul. Gossip. The definition of the word gossip, a dictionary definition, is when you habitually reveal personal or sensational facts about others. Gossip itself, the definition is a rumor or report of an intimate nature. You see, just because something's true, and that seems to be the issue. By the way, whenever somebody spreads gossip, they never go, oh, by the way, this isn't true, this is a lie, and I want to tell you something. No, it's always perpetrated as true. And you just need to realize that whether it's true or not, it's still, if it's speaking against other people, you don't need to be listening to it and taking those choice morsels. You see, there's something about the carnal nature, the sinful nature of man, that likes that dirty gossip. Did you hear about so-and-so? I heard. And it does so much harm in the body of Christ. Proverbs 20 and 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. Listen, if they're gossiping to you and betraying a confidence, they'll do the same to you. Avoid a man who talks too much. Gossip reveals a lack of character and integrity. When you tell something that you shouldn't be telling, it reveals your own heart. It discredits yourself. I'm telling you, part of the problem in many, many churches, and by the way, if you're new or visiting with us, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This is a wonderful group of people, and I really believe that, you know what, in the past, when we've had some issues, people gossiping and causing strife. Well, they're not here anymore, praise the Lord. And that, you know, I'm just being candid, you know. But I'm just telling you, I don't believe we have gossip and troublemakers, and I don't want anybody to think I'm preaching this message because we got problems. No, that's not it. But I'm preaching this message because all of us need to deal with these issues in our life, and we want to be on guard against the work of the enemy to come in and destroy and disrupt. But listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 26 and 20, without wood, a fire goes out. How many of you knew that? Eventually, the fire just goes out unless you keep putting wood on it. Well, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You see, as long as people keep talking about some conflict, it keeps it going. But if everybody just stopped talking about it, guess what? The fire will go out. It's eventually going to go down. Proverbs 10:18, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You see, when you speak against other people, you are being a fool. Don't do it. But this verse is interesting because, like so many Proverbs, he's actually saying the same thing twice, just in a different way. He that conceals his hatred has lying lips. In other words, he doesn't come right out and say, hey, I hate that person. Let me tell you something. No, they conceal their hatred, and yet, they find a way to twist, to skew, to deceive. With lying lips, they slander that person. And I tell you, you need to be on guard that you don't partake of those morsels of gossip. Don't allow that gossip to get in you. I'm telling you, it'll corrupt your soul, and you yourself will find yourself saying things and repeating things that you don't even know for a fact whether it's true. But even if it is, if it does harm to somebody else, then you shouldn't be spreading it. Titus 3, 9 and 10. I tell you, the Bible is so full of truth that most people just don't bother to read. It'll shake you up. It'll mess you up. Here's one of them right here, Titus 3, 9 and 10. If you got your Bible, you should see this one for yourself. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Well, I'd like to preach about that for about an hour. People want to argue about the stupidest things. Avoid that stuff. It's unprofitable and useless. Warn, now here's the verse that'll mess you up, all right? Warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with it. Now, this is the instruction from Scripture on how to deal with a divisive person. You don't just ignore it. No, you warn them. And then you warn them again. And after that, you don't have anything to do with them. Well, Pastor, that just sounds a little harsh to me. I'm telling you, we have accepted gossip and slander and backbiting far too long. And the Bible calls it sin. And we need to address it and deal with it. If somebody wants to gossip and be divisive and stir things up, you need to warn them. And if you warn them again. And if they keep on, you need to quit having anything to do with them. Pray for them, but don't have anything to do with them. I didn't make it up. It's Titus 3:10. Well, I don't know why you're looking at me like that. I'm telling you, Paul knew how important it was. The Holy Spirit knows how important it is for us to have unity in the body of Christ. I tell you, there are some people that always want to find something to disagree about and stir something up. They're just not happy if they're not in conflict, and we're not helping those people by enabling them and listening to that. No, we need to warn them and try to help them. They're headed for destruction. But a gossip can do so much harm to someone's reputation. I'm telling you, we should despise and hate gossip. Proverbs 11:9 says, with his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous escape. And you know, it is certainly true that you can hurt somebody's reputation with things that are true or skewed in a certain way or even outright lies. You can hurt somebody's reputation when you make an accusation against somebody. Remember this, that in the book of Revelation, it tells us that Satan himself is the accuser of the brethren. And when you begin to accuse a brother or sister, you have become a tool of Satan. Don't be a tool. No, be wise and refuse. Bite your tongue. Refuse to bring an accusation and accuse your brother or sister. No, there's a right way to help those who are headed the wrong direction. And it's not to bring accusation and condemnation or strife and to slander them. And no, we're to restore. The Bible says if we see someone overtaken in a fault, then we're to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Now, if somebody comes to you and they want to tell you something, they want you to know so you can pray about it, you know. It's amazing how people cover their sin by putting a different view on it. But they want to share something. They just think you ought to know, and so they're going to tell you something. Listen, you need to tell them that they need to go to that person. If somebody sins against you, Jesus said that you're to go to him and show him his fault. Just you and him, no one else. And then he says if they won't hear it, then you take someone else and the two of you go together and you show that person their fault. And then if they still are unrepentant and there's an issue there that needs to be resolved because they're sinning against you, then you go to the church leaders. I've been in full-time ministry over 25 years. I've never had that happen. Never seen it happen. But what's so common is people get on the phone and burn up the phone line talking about somebody and running them down. Of course, the real issue is that 99% of the time it has nothing to do with them sinning against them. I'm preaching good right now. It's really quiet in here. But I'm telling the truth this morning. Almost all of the slander and the talking against somebody else, it doesn't have anything to do with some righteous motive. But the truth is it's just slander and gossip. I'm telling you, we need to be wise. Realize that it's the work of the enemy. Great power in our words. We got to use them wisely. So if we're going to use our words wisely, how can we do that? Well, the first thing is very obvious, but I want to state the obvious this morning. You got to get wisdom. You can't speak wisely if you don't have any wisdom. In fact, when I see somebody saying something really stupid, generally I know they've been listening to stupid. You put foolish in and foolish comes out. And the only way that you're ever going to learn to speak wisely is you got to put some wisdom in. You got to get a hold of some wisdom from the Word of God and from godly counsel, from wise people. Remember, the companion of fools suffers harm. But those that hang out with the wise grow wise. So if you're going to speak wisely and use wisdom in your words, you got to get some wisdom. Well, let me give you a proverb 19 and 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. You see, you listen to godly counsel, to wise advice and instruction, and you yourself become wise, and then you got something wise to say. But you got to get wisdom. The second thing is get control of your mouth. If you're going to speak wisely, you got to stop all of the foolish talk. Get control of your mouth. Just close your mouth. Now, most of you are pretty good at this. You're doing it right now. You've got your mouth closed, and that's good, right? I mean, you're not really supposed to talk in church except when you're praising the Lord. Right? You're doing it right now. I just want to say you're capable of it. Because some people say, well, I can't help it. I just can't help myself. Yeah, you can. You're doing it right now. You got your mouth closed. Here's a wise thing to do. Close your mouth. Listen, there's a lot of things that have been opened by mistake, but none so often as the mouth. You got to close your mouth. You want to speak wisely? Then the first thing, get wisdom and then close your mouth. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. If you close your mouth, the Bible says you're wise. If you'll just refrain, just stop yourself from talking, the Bible says you're wise. But listen to the first part. Where there's many words, there's sin. The gift of gab is not a gift. It's a curse, all right? Close your mouth. Where there's many words, sin is not absent. Just, is that really true? The Bible says where there's many words, sin is going to be there. If you let your mouth just run, you're going to sin. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. You might not be the smartest, the sharpest. If you just keep your mouth shut, you know, you say, well, people might think I'm not very smart if I don't ever have anything to say. Well, it's better to let them think that than open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? You just keep your mouth shut. It's amazing how sometimes people think the answer is just to begin to talk and say anything. No. A lot of times what we need to do is just close our mouths. There's a hill in an English country churchyard, and there's a gray slate tombstone there, and it has this epitaph on it. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Now, for some people, I guess that's what it takes. But we need to learn to put a bridle over our mouth, to guard our mouth, to watch over it, and to not allow ourselves to just say whatever comes to mind. Some people engage the mouth before they engage the brain. No, listen, we need to think before we speak. And if you're going to control your mouth, you got to get control of your emotion. The one in particular that seems to get so many people in trouble is anger. If you don't control anger, you will say hurtful, destructive things that will do all kinds of damage in your life, in your relationships. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. A wise man keeps himself under control. You don't allow anger to control your mouth. A fool gives vent, full vent, to his anger. Now, when you're angry, you know, when you're really mad, that's probably not the time to deal with your children. You need to get it under control so that you can deal with them in love. And you know what? When you're dealing with other people and there's a situation that makes you so mad, I'm telling you, you need to walk away from it. You need to refuse to say anything until you can do it where you are under control. A wise man keeps himself under control. A fool vents his anger. So much heartache and problems come from those angry words. James 1:19-20. I share this every time I perform a wedding. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He says, quick to listen. People say, well, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. Quick to listen, slow to speak. See, if you're going to control your mouth, first of all, you just got to close your mouth. But when you are going to speak, don't be rash. Be slow to speak. You think before you speak. You got to choose your words wisely. And if you're just speaking, talking off the cuff, a lot of the time, you're going to say something foolish. But then he also adds this in with it. Be slow to become angry. And he goes on, he says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. You see, man's anger, no matter how much we might like to think it's righteous indignation, man's anger never brings about the righteousness of God. And so we need to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. How can you control yourself and control your words and use them wisely? You got to slow down. Think before you speak. Control your anger. Don't allow it to control your mouth. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. See, we all deal with conflict and we all deal with situations that are difficult. But the Bible says that when there's somebody that's mad, what you're supposed to do is have a gentle answer. Now, I've seen my wife use this principle many, many, many times. Where someone is upset, maybe sometimes me, someone is upset, and she has just a gentle word that brings a calm to the situation. And you know, anytime there's conflict, James chapter 3 says, the tongue is a fire. It's like a fire. You can either throw gasoline on it with your words, or you can throw water on that fire with your words. A wise thing is a gentle answer. Harsh words stir up anger. You can diffuse a bad situation with your words, or you can make it worse. Wisdom is to think before you speak, to choose your words wisely. Wisdom is to keep your mouth shut. Wisdom is to put a filter over your mouth. And I'm not just talking about profanity, but it also to not speak negative words and complaining words and words of doubt and unbelief, hurtful, hateful words, words of criticism and judgment, but to filter all of that out. James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You see, the Bible says very plainly that if we don't control our mouths, our religion is worthless. But you got to put a bridle over it, a control, a guard over your mouth and control what you say. So how can we filter our words? I think the first filter is the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 tells us how to be successful in life. And the very first thing that it tells us is to don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean to stick your Bible in your mouth. It means that you're going to get your conversation in line with the Word of God. You filter your conversation by God's Word. Are you speaking in line with His Word? Next, we need to filter our conversation through the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of every conversation. And you may not hear Him talking. You know, it's hard to hear somebody talking when you're talking. And you may not hear Him talking, but He's there and He's listening. And I just wonder, you know, we all know that God is everywhere, but I just wonder how much it would change our conversations if we were to see Jesus in a physical body standing in our midst, listening and participating in our conversation. Now, there's a filter. Most of us probably wouldn't have anything to say. One more filter. Jesus says that there's coming a day when every one of us will give an account for every reckless word. We filter our conversation through the knowledge that we're going to one day give an account for what we say. Matthew 12:36-37. I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Listen to this again. Give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Wow. You know, we would all be upset or terrified to know that someone was recording our conversation. But there's a day coming when we will give an account for every careless word. Give an account to God. There's a filter to filter your conversation through. That you're going to give an account. Give an account. Why did you say that? You know, so much of the time, we don't mean to say the wrong thing. We don't mean to hurt people. A lot of times we joke around with people and we're just having fun. And I just want to say, you know, that's a good thing when you can joke and tease and laugh together and have a good time. Sometimes joking around and kind of bring down some walls and make us feel, you know, more comfortable with one another. But all too often, joking around ends up being hurtful. And especially in this day and generation, it seems like it's just the thing, is the way to have fun is to make fun of somebody else. And I just want to encourage you, especially our young people, realize that that's a tool of the enemy to discourage and bring somebody else down. Also want to warn you, sometimes when we are tired and, you know, when we're just not in the right frame of mind, sometimes we just need to be very intentional about keeping our mouth shut. I mean, when you're in a bad mood, close your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. You know, when things aren't going right, or you just, maybe you're tired and exhausted, maybe even sick, just keep your mouth shut. I've told this story before, but I'm going to take just a minute to tell it because it just shows how foolish we can be, how sharp-tongued we can be sometimes. I remember years ago when I used to take most of the youth group home after church, and it's 25 or so years ago, and one night I was kind of dividing them up, how we're going to get them all home amongst the leaders, and one young lady says to me, she didn't like the way I divided it up, and she said, "Well, you used to take everybody home." And I said, "Well, I used to drink beer, and you used to wear a size 5. What's that got to do with anything?" Man, it was out there, and there was no way to get it back. You know what I'm saying? Sharp tongue. It can get you in trouble. Well, I think even the next sentence it was, "I'm sorry," but, you know, and that was a good close friend, and they forgave me quickly. But, you know, I'm just saying to you, sometimes you just got to close your mouth and don't say anything. Think before you speak. And when you're tired and worn out, or you're exhausted, or you're in a bad mood, it's especially during those times that you need to put a guard over your mouth. And the last thing I want to share with you from this message is that you are going to eat the fruit of your words. They say you'll eat your words. Well, you will eat the fruit of your words, for good or bad. Just very quickly, Proverbs 18:6, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating." Invites a beating. You're asking for it. Close your mouth. Proverbs 14:3, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them." There's that protect word again. I see that over and over in connection with wisdom. That when you use wisdom, it protects you from harm. But when you're being foolish in your words, you're inviting harm. You're going to bring correction and punishment. You're going to bring harm on yourself. Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Your mouth can get you in so much trouble. Proverbs 12:14, "From the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him." You know, you go out and you work with your hands and you're rewarded for that. And the Bible says very plainly that by our good words and being wise in what we say, we're going to reap a harvest of good things. So powerful. You know, I've talked a lot this morning about how it can be a negative thing, but how positive it can be too when we use our words the right way. Proverbs 13:3. "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. You guard your mouth. You're guarding your life. Is it really that powerful? Yes, it is. It's all through the Scripture. Now, in the third chapter of the book of James, we were there earlier, that whole entire chapter is talking about how you use your words and how much power there is in your words. And I want to point that out to you because at the last part of that chapter, if you just take just that passage, you might not realize it, but it is immediately following where James is talking about how powerful our words is. And he's saying, you know, with our mouths, we bless God, praise God, and then we curse men. And then the very next thing is he goes into this passage, and I want you to understand, he's still talking about the power of your words. James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, or King James says strife in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You see, by our words, we can either sow all kinds of negative things and unbelief and hurtful things, and it's all going to bring a harvest someday. Or we can sow kindness, considerateness. We can sow mercy. We can sow that peaceable fruit of righteousness. We can be a peacemaker by our words. And we are going to reap a harvest of peace, a harvest of life in our own life. So I encourage you this morning, choose wisely the words that you use. Put a watch over your mouth. Be careful. Realize that those words are powerful, and don't use that power carelessly. Stand with me, and as we pray this morning, our prayer partners are going to come.